No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host, Kathleen Gomez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affects the lives of all of us. Kathleen and I have a great show planned for you today, and we hope you'll join in the discussion. We'll give you an update about what's going on in the fight for equality here in the nation's capital, continue our talk about the most recent political scandals in New York and California, and anything else that comes to mind. But first, we have a very special guest who is going to discuss one of my favorite subjects, the upcoming Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, which starts tomorrow. One of the oldest and largest in the world, this rally attracts hundreds of thousands and has been going on in Sturgis, South Dakota, continuously for 75 years, with the exception of 1 year during the Second World War, where they had to ration gasoline. Before we get started, first let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen Gomez, who's back in Arizona. Hi, Kathleen, and as always, thanks for helping getting the conversation started.
Hello.
Hello, Kathleen. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
All right. Back in the state. Hi, how are you doing? I'm back in Arizona after being in North Dakota for a couple of weeks and glad to be back in the desert. And I understand we have a birthday boy coming up.
Oh, my God. I'm so friggin' old, I can't believe it.
You're only as old. You know, the 60s is the new 40s. You've heard that, right?
Thank God. Yeah. Well, for me, it feels like the new 80s.
Exactly.
I'm barely making it.
Well, you know? I'm really excited about today because last week we tried to get Jay, and through his traveling, we missed him. But he's with us today, and anybody who has been to Sturgis knows of the creator of the legendary Broken Spoke Saloon in Sturgis. He's a pioneer for more than two decades in motorcycle entertainment. A salt flat racer and record holder on the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah. Jay, how are you doing? Welcome to our show. Is he there?
The party, you know, it officially starts tomorrow, but it's on. I literally am standing in a bathroom because I cannot escape the sound of music and motorcycles.
That's great. Well, are you at the Easy Rider Saloon? Is that where you are?
I am. They have a wonderful restroom facilities here. They have a gentleman attendant here, and I'm in the Easy Rider Saloon, John.
Wow.
That's a great place. Great place to be for our show.
And hey, I wish I was there with you. Not necessarily in the John, Jay, but I wish I was in Sturgis with you. It's, you know, those are two of the prettiest sounds in the world. You know, anybody that's ever ridden a Harley, like I do, I still ride a Harley, understands that there's a very, very specific sound that it makes like no other sound in the world. And when you get a few thousand of them together, I'm sure it's a beautiful noise.
Hey, and you know what happened last night? It was kind of historical with the motorcycle world, and I'm honored to let all your listeners know about this. Indian Motorcycle, which started in 1901, unveiled their new line of Indian Chiefs with their new 111 motor. And they fully intend to come out and be a competitor to Harley-Davidson like they were back in the 50s and beyond. So it was an unbelievable unveiling. The bikes are absolutely breathtaking. And, you know, we just got another great American product on the highway.
That's great. You know, my first bike, Jay, was a 53 Harley Panhead, an old dresser. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when I would go to the parties, I was the coolest guy until a guy in a on a 51 Indian would show up. I had a friend that had a 51 Indian, you know, and you know, with the little lighted Indian hat on the front fender and everything. It was an amazing bike, so I'm glad to see that they're back. And you're right, it's great to see a new American product, you know, back on the market. Great American.
It is. And so all you listeners out there, go to the Indian website. Look at these bikes. I mean, they really did their homework, and they're very proud of what they've created.
Oh, that's really cool. Now you had an event today. It was today, right? It was a ride?
Absolutely.
Tell us about the property.
Michael Lichter is the number one motorcycle photographer in the world in the B-twin industry. And that man, every year we do a Michael Lichter Sugar Bear ride. And Sugar Bear is an amazing man. He's a black 73-year-old motorcycle customizer extraordinaire who is just a phenomenal person and motorcycle customizer known for building Sugar Bear front ends. And we took the Michael Lichter Sugar Bear ride. We had about 200 bikes just flying through the Black Hills of South Dakota today, and we had a blast. We came back and fed all the riders. It was free. It was no charge, thanks to Easy Rider Saloon. And, you know, it was just about the ride and getting the wind in your hair. And for all you guys out there who have never ridden the Black Hills, my God, the water is abundant. Once the day warms up, you could smell the pine tar, the sweet pine scent when you're riding through the hills. You got to try to check it out.
Well, you know, and I think one thing that people don't know about bikers, Jay, is that they do a lot of good things in the world. I know that we all have this image of the biker gang, but these guys raise a lot of money for charity. They do a lot of runs all over the country. I've certainly been involved in the Washington area in some runs. Every year I go to the Ride to the Wall. I know you know a lot of people that are involved in that as well, Jay. So since this is a show about politics, I just want to point that out, that these guys do a lot of good in the world. They help a lot of people. They raise money for children. And they care a lot about vets. And that's something I know you care a lot about, Jay, and I care a lot about them too. I've seen pictures of your tribute bikes. They're just amazing looking bikes. What got you started on doing that?
You know, owning the world's largest biker bar for the last 25 years, bikers are synonymous with the military. And, you know, when you have so many people and characters touch your lives as I have with the veterans, it just sucks you in. And then I went to the first Rolling Thunder. And let me tell you, if you're not a patriot, just go to a Rolling Thunder, and it will change your life forever. And to
Absolutely.
Watch the people and to meet people that have been scarred from war and that have paid the price for all of this, I owe them dearly.
Right. And you know what? Those guys at Rolling Thunder want – all they want is for America to stand up and say thank you for your service. And I always do that, and I hope all our listeners do that, because these were brave men that stood up for us, no matter how you feel about the war or anything else. Veterans are people that need to be cherished, because the fact that you get to run your bar, Jay, and I get to do what I do, and Kathleen gets to do what she does, that's because these brave men and women stood up for us and made sure that we were free. And that's another thing about bikers, you know, they love freedom.
And I guess, you know, why don't you tell the listeners, I know that one of your, like, newest projects, you've kind of, you've built the Broken Spoke Saloon to a brand, and now you're kind of doing some other things. One of them is, of course, that a lot of these different rallies all throughout the different, you know, through the country. I think you go to Daytona, and I don't even know, you go to so many of them. And before we talk about the military tribute bikes, Jay, are you with us? Oh, I think we did. We lose him?
Yeah, you broke up. I don't know if you
okay.
Me.
Okay. You know, I'm probably because I'm in Tucson.
Yeah,
okay,
you are fading in and out.
You wanted to talk about the military tribute bikes, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Well, first I was going to say to you was, go ahead, about the Bonneville Flats, about your racing.
Oh, okay, absolutely. You know, while I'm here in Sturgis, today we did the ride, and tonight I do what they call the S&S Cycle Circle of Honor. And they have the band Candlebox coming out. But what I do is we will have a soldier come up and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I have an opera singer that is going to do the national anthem. And then last but not least, we have a taps player. And the two motorcycles will be doing a burnout lightly. To that smoke will signify our tribute to our troops all around the world right now that wish they were in Sturgis. And that's what happens before the concert. And then Thursday, I take the military tribute bikes to the Fort Meade Veterans Home. And it's an amazing, this is my second annual time. But when you watch these vets roll out in their wheelchairs, and boy, they were, hey, where's the Marine bike? Where's the Navy bike? And, boy, you start hearing this. I feel like such a blessed person to be a part of the military tribute bike tour.
And tell us, am I coming in better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us, you have a bike for each of the armed services, correct?
Absolutely. I started out, I built an Army bike. It got so much attention. Rolling Thunder came to me and asked me to reach out to some of the top builders in the world to create their branches. And so Bridget Borgette, the Borgette's Bike Works, Bill Lane from Choppers, Inc., my favorite builder on the planet Earth, Dar Halsworth, the Brass Ball Bobbers, which, by the way, he just, Toby Keith just invested in his business, and Kiwi Mike from Kiwi Indian, they all built the bikes representing, you know, a branch of the service. And these bikes are the ones that I'm taking out, and I take them to large events. I mean, like right now, there should be over 500,000 riders in Sturgis, and that's to create awareness. And then naturally, we take them to our soldiers, you know, to salute them. And then last but not least, the healing goes to our veterans.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know this either, Jay, but a lot of motorcycling really gained a lot of popularity after the Second World War, and it was veterans that made that happen. It was veterans that started a lot of the motorcycle clubs around the country. And also, I got to point out, as somebody from Washington, since you're going to play taps, that was a song that was written by a Congressional Medal of Honor winner that was from Washington, D.C. So we're very proud of that, and we're proud of the work that you're doing too, Jay. Tell us a little bit about the Jack Pine Gypsies. They're the group that started the Sturgis.
Absolutely. There's a couple by the name of Pappy and Pearl Hoyle who owned the Indian dealership here in Sturgis, and they were Jack Pine Gypsies. And in 1938, they put on some races, and I believe, and I interviewed Pearl Hoyle when she was 99 years old.
Wow.
And I think somewhere around 400 people showed up. And what was really cool about the story was this: the young racers didn't have enough money to come and get home, but they were so optimistic about winning some purse money, they thought they could win and get home. Well, guess what? Pearl and Pappy were stuck with pence in their yards after the first annual Black Hills Classic. So they had to all get to, once they realized we can't beat them forever, they all got together and got some money and got the kids out of there. But that was the first annual. And the Jack Pine Gypsies, to this day, tomorrow are the Hill Climbs. And I really try and keep that tradition alive because that's what started this rally.
Yeah, and it's amazing to watch a hill climb. I mean, let me tell you, those are gutsy people that are willing to do that. That's one of the most dangerous things I've ever personally witnessed. I went to one time and just was amazed at the guts it takes to do that. 'Cause getting almost to the top doesn't make it. You either get to the top or you don't. And if you don't, it can be a lot of trouble. So it's a great tradition to keep alive. And thanks for keeping the biker tradition alive and that connection with veterans. Because, as I say, I ride to the wall every year. And you're right. If you're having a problem with your patriotism, go spend the day, Memorial Day, down on the mall in D.C. And it'll rejuvenate you. There's, you know, with all its bumps and bruises, America is the greatest country in the world, and these guys come and pay honor to all of us, and we do the same to them because they're the ones that keep it that way.
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, my motorcycle is going to Bonneville this week. Beg your pardon?
You're going to Bonneville this week?
Go ahead.
on Thursday, I head to the Bonneville Salt Flats, and I hope this is okay to say on your radio show, but I am calling the bike American Pride, and I think that that's what this country is lacking is American Pride, and I am putting on that bike. It says American Pride, and right below that, it's to support our troops, question our government, speak our language, and God bless America, and that's what's going to be on that motorcycle.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things that makes America great is our ability to question the government. And also, I got to agree with you, Jay, that I think that when I was young, there was a thing called being an American that we were all proud of. And I'm sorry to say that I don't see it as much anymore. I think that, and maybe people my age still feel that great pride, but it worries me sometimes that maybe younger Americans don't feel that. So I think it's an appropriate, great name for the bike. And, of course, there's nothing more American than the Bonneville Salt Flats outside of
Pittsburgh. Oh, you guys, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, and, Jay, why don't you tell the audience, I mean, you have like 19 records and –
I started out racing a little Indian chief, and now my goal is I've been trying to hit 200 miles an hour for about the last 4 years, and I've yet to do it. I get in the 190s, but thanks to S&F Cycle and Baker Drivetrain, I've got a 120-inch motor, and it's running real good, and I'm going out with a raw bike this next week. And if I can hit 180 on that bike with a real slippery body on it and a little alcohol, I might be able to hit that 200 and race with legends. It's magical out there.
Okay, now Jay, do you put alcohol in the bike or alcohol in you or a little of both?
Well, at the end of the day, I like to have a good drink, but no, you know, I've never really run fuel, and I think that's what's going to get me my 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And with 19 land speed records, I've done really well on gas, but I think adding a little you know, alcohol and nitro is going to pick that bike up enough that it can happen. So you got to get a bigger carburetor with bigger jets and get out there and just see how it can do. But I'm just going to stick with it. You know, one thing you learn as you get older, and all you young people out there, trust me, you learn to be patient and wait for good things to come.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That must be an amazing sensation. I've been over 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle, but I've never been much faster than that. Of course, on my 53 Harley, which had brakes like a Schwinn bicycle. Anything over 75 miles an hour, you're taking a life into your hands. But yeah, it's a wonderful feeling. I've been to Bonneville Salt Flats too, and that's just an amazing place. And I wish you all the luck with that.
And Jay, tell
us
what.
I'm honored. Thank you so much.
The Sturgis is for this whole week, right? So you're going to be leaving Thursday, but do people come starting like Friday, and then they just stay the whole week and it's one event? I mean, if you were to tell somebody who's going to go to Sturgis for the first time, what advice would you give them to get the best out of the event?
Well, you couldn't ask a better person than me, because I've never missed one since 1986 and I've been in the thick of it. So it really depends on what you people are like out there as a person, because this is the rally is opposite of all the other rallies. The biggest days are Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's going to really tail up. I'll tell you what, by Wednesday night, Thursday morning, these little bikers wake up, they've got their tails between their legs, and, oh, yeah, we're going to stay till Saturday. They're ready to go home and lick their wounds, I'm telling you. So with that in mind, you know, you might want to come a few days before the rally starts and stay for a couple of them, or come mid-rally where you catch the last of the big days, like a Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's going to be a lot thinned out to where you can ride through the hills easier, because let me tell you, it's like ants out there at times, depending on where you ride. There are hundreds of thousands of people in the hills, and what's so fun is when you pass them going the opposite direction is the grin on their faces. They made it. They made it to the Black Hills Classic. But it's a 10-day event. It's softer on the back end, so if you don't want to fight as thick a crowd, come from Wednesday to Saturday. Otherwise, if you want to be in the thick of it and ride into chaos, you want to come Saturday to Tuesday, the first part.
And then I guess this eat different, like, say, the Easy Rider Saloon and maybe Full Throttle, do they have their own music at each of their events?
Oh, Listen to this, guys. I mean, we're just one of many. This block, this bar that I'm coming from is a city block large. Tonight, free, they have Saliva and Candlebox. But Michael Lichter's doing an art show out at the Buffalo Chip. And tonight at the Broken Spoke, they have the Black Crows. And the Chip schedule is the most intense schedule of everybody. It's a pay event, but oh my God, you know, when you think of a town of Sturgis, 6,500 people, go online and see what's happening here. It will freak you out. The Full Throttle Saloon has an amazing music schedule. I mean, this place is packing everywhere. There's more than you can do here, along with the Jack Pine Gypsy events, and the bike shows are impeccable, and the Wall of Death, it's all here.
Wow, yeah, I was absolutely amazed when I looked at the population of Sturgis and saw that it was just under 6,500 people. How many people show up for this thing, Jay? How many people show up for this week? Do you know?
I'd say in a soft year, 300,000. I'd say on an average, 300,000 to 500,000. And,
wow.
And hold on to your pants, you guys, but in 2015 will be the 75th. And I was here for the 50th. And it was unbelievable. And this, you know, I'm 59 years old, so I'm really grabbing on to this 75th. It's probably the last major granddaddy I'm going to see while still coherent as a human being. So the 75th is going to be awesome. It's probably going to be over 1 million people. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Stones or acts like that get booked in for that year. It's going to be powerful.
Well, maybe we can do our show from the bathroom next year at the 75th. That would make my life. I'm 59 as well, Jay, but I'm only 59 for about 12 more hours. And,
oh, my God.
Then I'm turning 60. But yes, that's always been a dream of mine to go out there. And I don't think that anybody that I've ever met that rides a motorcycle, if you just say that one word to them, Sturgis, they all know what it means. It's the mecca
for motorcyclists, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it really is the mecca of motorcyclists.
So after Sturgis, you go to Bonneville Flats, and then where is your next rally?
After Bonneville, I kind of go into my fall schedule, and I'll be taking the tribute. Hey, well, Kathleen, I hope you're going to help me. We want to take the bikes to the Pentagon. We want to take them everywhere we can in the Washington, D.C. area before they roll south to go to Daytona, Panama City, Florida, to the Avon Park Correctional Facility, and to the Lone Star Rally out in Galveston, Texas. And that will be my last part of the tour with the military tribute bikes for 2013.
And let me just say that I am working with Jay because these bikes are beautiful, and you can go on to your official it's the official jayallen.com site, and you can see the military tribute bikes, and they're beautiful. And we were going to go, and we want to get sponsorship from different corporations so that we can fund this effort of yours to take these bikes to veterans' homes and to the bases. So that, you know, it's a great, I think, morale kind of welfare recreation type of thing. And there's so many. I was surprised that I think, what do they say, 25% of all bikers are vets or are military soldiers. And it kind of seems to go hand in hand. So I know you were also thinking of maybe commissioning one more bike to make the tribute bikes complete, right? Are you still thinking of doing something for the National Guard? Hello?
You know what? I was trying to get some feedback from Rolling Thunder, and they thought that might be a little confusing, but I think it's still up for debate. And I got a lot of positive feedback yesterday. I was debuting the bikes down in Hot Springs, South Dakota at a big event, and I got a lot of positive responses for that. So that's very possible. I have the motorcycle. So I've got the basics that I need to do a National Guard bike.
Yeah,
well, you know, anything we can do to help you with that, Jay, we have a very distinguished guard unit here in District Columbia. It was actually started by Thomas Jefferson and included Francis Scott Key was actually on a mission for the D.C. National Guard when he was captured and he wrote the national anthem. So anything we can do to be involved in that project. And when you come to Washington – Jay, let me know, and I'll help in any way I can. You know,
well, Senator Brown, you already are.
I would love to ride with you.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's got
okay.
a pretty nice bicycle. Senator Brown does have a nice bike, I have to admit. It's pretty neat looking.
Yeah, for an old guy.
For an old folk?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God they came up with electric starters. If I had to get the starter, I'd never make it. You know, I've seen some of your bikes, and I know some of the older ones with kickstart, and I certainly have one with the kickstart in the panhead that I owned. And if I still had to do that, I think I'd be pushing it instead of riding it. But luckily, they have electric starters now. So when you come to Washington, we'd love to be a part of it. I love Harleys. I love veterans. And I really appreciate the work you've done, Jay. I've seen pictures of your bikes, and they just look amazing to me. And I'm sure that they're very well received wherever you take them.
Well, they are, and I'm honored. And, you know, people tell me I'm doing a great thing, and this is the God's truth. I'm not saying this just to sound good. Every time I leave a veteran's home, or every time I leave, you know, someplace where I'm displaying those bikes for veterans, I leave with more than I showed up with. And it's making me a more fulfilled person, and it's given me purpose that I didn't even know I had. So it goes both ways. I'll tell you what, I'm just proud to be the guy out there getting all the goodness from showing these bikes.
Well,
and you know, Senator Brown, I must say that, you know, Jay's a very... He's a very modest guy, and he doesn't like to talk about himself, but you are getting the Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Motorcycle Master Builders Association or something like that, right, Jay?
Yeah, I was just warned. Jeff got the bio, and Tuesday at 5 o'clock I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award by the IMBVA. It was very nice. It's a compliment.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
a very
well, congratulations.
Big deal. So it's great that they're honoring your effort, and I know you don't like to talk about it, but I felt like I had to say that you have done a lot for the motorcycle industry, and they're thanking you for it. And, you know, everywhere I've ever gone and seen anything about Sturgis, I always saw Broken Spoke Saloon. So I know you were the creator of it and made it what it was, and hats off to you. And I really think what you're doing with these military tribute bikes is a great thing, and I'm excited to help you, and I know that Senator Brown already agreed, and we're going to take these bikes to all the different, you know, because Senator Brown, right, you know, you get Marines, the Navy, the Air Force, Army, all of them right there in D.C. And we can
yeah,
take them to all the different states.
Washington, D.C. has a military base for every branch of the service inside the District of Columbia, as well as outside. We have a lot of big bases like Andrews and Air Force Base and other places that are in the suburbs, but we also have a Marine, Navy, Air Force, and Army base all inside the District of Columbia. We're very proud of our veterans, and a lot of them here in the district ride bikes, so I'm sure you'll be very successful when you come here, Jay. I'm sure a lot of people will turn out. I certainly will be there. And you know, if I take enough Advil, I might actually ride my motorcycle.
All right. Well, listen, I look forward to my Washington D.C. tour.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Jay. I hope you have fun at Sturgis. When you come to Washington, I'm going to lobby you, because next year I want to do this show from the bathroom of the Broken Spoke or some other saloon.
Rider Saloon or something. Yes.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that. Definite yes. We'll have to do it from the bathroom somewhere.
Wait a second. Sturgis. You can't. Well, you can't get in the men's room.
Listen, anything can happen.
Well,
in
hey, I also want. I want you guys to know that this bathroom, I've got an Army veteran in here as an attendant, and he told me that you can do the white glove treatment on this, and he is a very proud Army man, and I'll tell you what, you would be honored to do that show in this bathroom.
All right.
Well, do me a favor and thank him for his service. Do you know his name, Jay?
What's your name? Manning, what's your first name? What's your last name? Manning Neesmith.
Well, thank you, Mr. Neesmith. We appreciate your service to America. And thank you, Jay.
Nice smile
we appreciate your
right
service.
Now.
Yeah, Jay, and we'll let you go because we know that a lot is happening and all that. And I just want to thank you for taking the time out and being on our show. And it's kind of live from Sturgis from the bathroom of the Easy Rider Saloon.
All right. And you guys, you keep up the fight. Don't get tired. You hear me?
Okay.
And what do you always say, Jay? You always
and
have
when
a
you
saying.
Get down there to the soft flats, remember, rubber side down.
And shiny side up, brother. You guys
shiny
take care.
Shiny side up. That's right.
Bye.
Thank you, Jay. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, well, before we take a short break and before I ride off on my Harley into the sunset with Jay and the other bikers, let me fill you in what's been going on in our fight for democracy here in the District of Columbia. In the last few weeks, two new pieces of legislation have been introduced, both by Republicans. The first by a man determined to make sure that the District of Columbia never gets control of its own affairs, and that's Louie Gohmert of Texas. Once again, he's come up with another lame brain idea, that of giving the district back to Maryland from whence it came. Unfortunately, he hasn't bothered to ask the people of Maryland or D.C. whether they want to get back together after 210 years. Leave it to a guy who was elected by the who wasn't elected by the voters in either state to tell us how we should conduct our affairs. As I said last week, maybe we should give Texas back to Mexico. That way, at least we could get rid of Louie Gohmert. And that would make me and the other residents of the District of Columbia happy. Another piece of legislation offered up by Republicans this week is from Daryl Issa of California, who has introduced a budget autonomy bill that on its face looks like it will finally give district residents control of their own budget and allow them to get their fiscal year in line with that of other states instead of the federal government. Although this sounds like a good idea and is in line with what D.C. residents voted overwhelmingly for in a referendum in April, closer inspection of the bill reveals that Congress would still have the ultimate say unless they chose not to. Or in other words, it's more of the same old, more smoke and mirrors from the guys who really don't like us. As far as our legislation for the 623 loyal citizens of the nation's capital, the new Columbia Admissions Act got two new co-sponsors this week, one in the House and one in the Senate. Thanks to Delaware Senator Chris Coons and to California Congressman George Miller from the 11th District, who both took a stand for democracy and equality this week by becoming co-sponsors of this important legislation. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico has gotten a new, has picked up a 28 new co-sponsors for the Puerto Rican Status Resolution, which is their version of a statehood bill. They now stand at 119 co-sponsors. That's more than twice as many as D.C. And even though their legislation has only been out there for 2 months and ours has been in the works for almost eight, they've got more than twice as many co-sponsors. It looks like they're working harder than we are, and we need to pick up the pace. We also need to put a little muscle behind our effort. Puerto Rico spends millions on its lobbying, whereas the district spends almost nothing. That needs to change if we are to be successful.
Well, now you've heard what we have to say, and so now let's hear what you have to say. Please call us. Don't be afraid. 888-429-5471 and talk to us. We're listening. Again, it's 888-429-5471 or Skype us at bbsradio2.com, I think it is.
Yep. I'm sorry. It is .com. I left that off the
okay. Yes,
off the
you're dead.
We'll be back in a few minutes so we can talk about the recent scandal in politics. You know, it's my birthday tomorrow, so I got to have a little fun. So let's talk about a little scandal. And here's one by Amy Winehouse for Congressman Wiener and Mayor Filner.
Is it Wiener or Wiener?
It's Wiener.
Okay.
But he is a Wiener. He's
okay.
A Wiener that's a Wiener.
All right, we'll be back.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine, they tried to make me go to rehab. I won't.
And we're back. Congressman Wiener, thank you for correcting me, Kathleen. Congressman Wiener is still at it. He says New Yorkers know he has baggage, but he's still staying in the race for mayor. Kathleen, you lived in New York for many years. What do you think of this guy? Should he still be running, or should he get out?
I think he should get out for a real basic reason. I mean, all right, okay, so you make a mistake once and you had to resign from Congress. What makes you think you can do it again, lie about it, do it again, and then it's okay to run for mayor of the biggest, most important, one of the most important cities in New York? You know, New York is an international city. I don't get it. I did live in New York for 20 years. I love New York City. I kind of thought I would kind of end up being a New Yorker and die there, but I returned to Arizona, and you know, I lived during Giuliani, you know, I got there the tail end of Koch era, which I really kind of liked him the best. Then there was Giuliani, who did do a lot of things for the city but made it too commercial. And now you got Bloomberg, who basically made it like the mall, because he let Walmart and Kmart. And, you know, I remember when I got to New York, there was the little lady who had just an umbrella store for 80 years, and the guy from Sicily, and then the person who had made their own toys. And when Toys R Us came in, and Walmart, and Starbucks, and Dunkin' Donuts, all the little independent guys, they left because the rent was too high. And Bloomberg, I don't know what he did with it. And now it just seems like a travesty, because to me, New Yorker is about resilience. It's about leading, being leaders. I just can't imagine the mayor of this great city texting or whatever they call it and sending pictures of himself. How old? He's got to be in his, 40s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's texting to, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, to young girls?
Oh, yeah, young women.
Right? Young women. And this is not what I perceive to be a leader of an internet like New York City. And there's some great other people who are running. I like John Liu. He's been a councilman of New York for a very long time and worked with him on a lot of the school issues that I was involved in. And he's a great guy. But, you know, it seems like, you know, the media gives notice to these guys like Wiener, and they give them all the notoriety, all the press. And you probably wouldn't even know who John Liu is or what he's doing, because the press is not somebody who gives information to the public to let them allow to make their decision. It's all about revolving around Wiener, whatever his name is. And I think it's a shame. I think that he should get out of politics. And I think, you know, it was interesting because when we were talking about the subject last weekend, and we talked about the fact that why is America voting these people into office? The ones that we know, you know, it's out there that, like the guy from, what was it, South Carolina or whatever, who.
Oh, yeah.
Visiting Samford. His girlfriend. Right, Samford. And, you know, this guy, and I mean, it's on and on. Why are we doing this? And it's funny because Fox that next morning had all their news reporters on talking about the same thing, the morality in America, and why are the voters allowing these guys to be reelected? And I do think we have to ask ourselves as a nation and as the public and as citizens, why are we doing this? Why are we not expecting more out of our politicians as far as having a code of conduct, some morality? And I mean, whether it's Democrat or Republican, enough is enough. I mean, they've got to stand for something. They got to stand for right and wrong. And I'm sorry, be freaking faithful to your wife or your partner. Is it that hard to ask that simple thing? I think that's something that should be done. You know, I just do.
I think cheaters are
cheaters, and they cheat on their wife or their girlfriend. Damn it, they're going to cheat and lie on everything else.
Well, that's true. That's something I found out in 25 years of running my own business, that people project. And you're right. If people are worried about you cheating them, they're cheating you. And if these guys are out there cheating on their wives and cheating, lying to the public, that's not going to change. We've already seen with this guy that he hasn't changed. He didn't learn his lesson when he lost his congressional seat. And now he wants to move up. Because I'll tell you what, being mayor of New York, which may be the most powerful city in the world, being mayor of that's a step up from being a member of Congress.
It is.
I don't care what district you represent. Representing New York City makes you a major world leader because of the importance of the city. And, you know, somebody, I don't know who said this about him this week, but they said he's going into rehab. He's going to do this little class or something in rehab. That's great. Let him go into therapy, but let him do it on his own time. Not on
exactly.
the time of New Yorkers. And I can't believe, Kathleen, knowing New Yorkers the way I do, and certainly the way you do, that they're going to elect this guy. I don't think any New Yorker in his right mind is going to vote for this guy.
Well, I don't know, because, you know, the New York that I used to know before Bloomberg brought in all these huge, you know, like Kmart and Toys R Us and all this stuff, and it's kind of been, you know, hit with all these people from outside the United States. I don't know. You know, I remember before I left, there was a woman across the street from me, and she sat on her stoop. She knew everything that happened on our block. I don't know how she knew where I lived, but one morning I get this buzz, get your ass down here before your car gets towed. And I don't know how she knew where I lived. She may have knew the building, but how did she know I was in apartment 5H? I never knew. She was 73 years old, and she used to be a bartender at the Cotton Club, and that was who New York was. And those
right.
are the that are harder to find. But I tell you, Bloomberg spent more money running as mayor than Obama.
Well, that's amazing. That Kathleen, are you there? You're fading in and out. But let me just follow up and say, yeah, that it's amazing that
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It's just amazing to me that these people don't see that. And this guy Filner is another example. You've got this guy in San Diego who's going to start rehab tomorrow. He's going to go through 2 weeks of rehab. Now, the guy is 70 years old. And if you haven't learned in the first 70 years of your life how to respect women, I really can't see how a two-week class is going to teach you that. You know, it's just incredible to me what message does this send to young women. I'm the father of 2 daughters, and what message does this send to young women that all these women have come forth with these claims of sexual harassment of this man, and we're still going to let him run a major city in America? San Diego is another major city.
I don't understand what is he going to learn in 2 weeks? He's how old? 73 years old?
He's 70.
So he's going to learn in 2 weeks all of a sudden how to act properly among women. And I wonder, does he have children? Does he have granddaughters? Does he have daughters? Does he have nieces? I mean, you know, America's got to stop, you know, playing this game of like putting their head, politicians are all bad. Politicians reflect who we are as a country, whether it's a small town on the Mexican border like Douglas or Tucson or D.C., and Americans have got to get involved, or else we're going to not become the greatest nation in the world anymore. We're just going to become a bunch of misfits, morally corrupt and scared of each other. I just don't know, you know, I want to shake people sometimes and say, you know, you have to be involved, you have to vote, and you have to start taking a stand and ask more of your politicians and not just give in to us, they're politicians, what do you expect? Raise the frickin' bar. Raise
right.
the bar and expect something of these people so that we'll get good people to run. It is a reflection of us as people. End
right.
of it.
That's absolutely correct. We are the ultimate, we're the boss. We employ these people and re-employ them and re-employ them. And when you think of it, we have a pretty rigorous control mechanism, and that is every 2 years we get to say yes or no, or every 4 years, or in the case of senators and sometimes governors, every 6 years. But we get to say yes or no, and we keep on accepting their bad behavior and saying yes. And we have to stop doing that. And part of the problem is that we're lazy. We
yes.
don't bother to look into who these people really are. And we see their name over and over and over again. Like you were saying, that wiener will suck up all the press And then people will go into the voting booth and say, yeah, I know this guy. But what do you know about this guy? That's the thing. What do you know about him?
And America's – It's got to stop this whole thing where I'm too lazy to go vote. I'm too lazy to go to the poll. I'm too lazy. You know, you can sit there and go on Facebook and invite everyone you know to play Candy Crush.
Right.
But you can't spend 10 minutes to do – like Google the person who's running for your city council or your mayor or whatever. And you can't take that kind of time. You know, if you can't take that time and Candy Crush is more important to you, then you know what? You deserve what you get. And, you know, unfortunately, I got to live in that place. Where you live, where you just don't care enough to take time out of your Candy Crush game. I'm just so – I get invited to play this games. Right. Like 20 people invite me every day. I don't have time. I'd rather spend the time electing good people to represent me to put policies that I'm going to have to live by than playing a damn Candy Crush game. And I don't mean to offend those people who invite me, but don't invite me anymore. Instead of inviting me, look up who's going to be running at your next election.
So where are the girls? That's what I want to know. Where are the girls that are in the sex scandals? Where are the girls, politicians? Where are the women politicians that are stealing money? Where are the women politicians that are involved in sex scandals? You don't see them.
No.
You know? You don't see female congressmen being called out for sexting. You don't see female congressmen stealing money and buying Rolex watches and fancy cars with the taxpayers' money. So where are they? We had a caller last week named Marilia Robbins who wrote an article on this about narcissism and politicians for the American Spectator. And that was a question I asked her later. I said, after the show, I said, why don't women do this? And she said, it's a really good question. And I think part of the reason is because we have a society where we're really permissive to men. I think we hold women on many levels, especially sexually, we hold women to a higher standard. Well, damn it, I think we need to impose that standard on our male politicians too. You know, you can say a lot of things about if you like the policies of Dianne Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi or, any of the other women.
Olympia Snow,
Olympia Snow, right. But they were always honest. They're honest. They haven't been connected with scandals. Maybe it's something about being a mom and having to be responsible for other people. And these guys just never have to be responsible for anybody but themselves. And in the end, they don't seem to be able to do that even.
Well, I do think that there is definitely a double standard. And I didn't think it exists until recently. And I personally, on a personal level, found out that, yes, it does. Men seem to hold themselves differently as far as being honest and being true and being fair about things. And when it comes to sex, we kind of just say, well, it's a man's world and men get to dictate this. I believe in equality for everyone, men and women. And I think that if we just tended to women say what they want and men be honest about what they're doing, maybe we'd be a lot better off. And I think it'd just be a better world. And I think again, how we act among ourselves is how we are reflected in our policies and in the people we elect. And if we cheat, if we steal, we tend to say, of course I expect my politicians to cheat and lie. And we gotta stop it. We just have to stop it because there's nothing that's ever gonna get better for us unless we go back. And I mean, I'm a spiritual person. And I just believe if we try to follow the Ten Commandments and do the right thing, we'll be much better off than allowing everyone to get a free ride on doing the wrong thing. And I mean, we talked about Clinton, you know, and how really his ability to say, I did not have sex or that was not sex, played out among young kids. And you know, we all have a part to play, and we got to start doing the right thing. I don't know. I'm sorry but...
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think it's an honor to serve the public. That's why I do it, and I think we should be held to a high standard. So maybe that should be the one of the things that we start on Shadow Politics is a new campaign which says, you know, vote for better government, elect a woman.
Because, there you go.
You know, they seem to be doing a better job, and I'll tell you what, every female candidate that I ever see, I look at very closely. I consider them very carefully because I think that they do have a better sense of priorities than a lot of these guys. We've talked about the scandals in Washington, you know, right here locally. We've got one councilman in jail who stole money from sports programs for underprivileged kids. We've got another one who resigned for making false statements on federal applications. We've got another one who just took 50, you know, who just lost re-election and took $55,000 in bribes from the FBI, and that's 25% of our city council. So we
you
really
know,
need to.
Yeah, true. I mean, Senator Brown, think about it. Elliot Spitzer, right? He had to resign from being the governor because he was hanging out with prostitutes. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's just not enough male prostitutes to you think that's the difference why women are not caught in that same situation? I don't know. Or maybe we just have, like you say, a higher standard. You know, who would want to be, you know, in this day and age, who would want to be with people who are in the sex trade? I mean, you know,
well,
it's not
I know.
A very
I
safe
think
world.
I think that's true. I think that you do have a higher standard. I think women are used to being looked at and judged. And, you know, we say, oh, he's a boy. You know, yeah. Oh, he's a, you know, of course he's a boy, you know. But I think we do hold women to a higher standard, and I think we have to hold our politicians to a higher standard, and it's time for us to go. So please come back next week when we will have some more, hopefully another interesting guest, and have more interesting things to say. And thanks again to Jay Allen. I hope you're having a good time out there in Sturgis, and I hope you'll invite us to be out there next year.
I think we should make that a goal. It should be one of our anniversaries. We should do the show from the bathroom of the Easy Riders. And I think I can get access. You know, we'll just figure out some way.
All right.
Something
well,
always happens.
I think if I start on my motorcycle now, I might be able to make it out to South Dakota by next year.
And Senator Brown, we all want to wish you a very happy birthday. You're
old.
Guy, you're a young 60. You're a young 60.
Oh,
you know, 60
God.
Is a new 40. 40 is a new 20, and then 20
God.
Is a new 8.
All right.
I don't
right.
know, but anyway, I'm trying to go by that goal. But you're a great guy. Happy birthday! What's it tomorrow
thanks.
Today? Your
tomorrow.
Birthday.
And
tomorrow.
Thanks so much. And now I'm gonna go take a nap.
All right.
Thanks
thank
everybody
you,
for listening. We'll
and
see
remember,
you next week,
call us in with your questions. Don't be shy.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.